Welcome to the second half hour. We have Laura Lee Mystica on the phone from Spokane, Washington. The Knights of the Violet Realm. Do the Knights of the Violet Realm... Welcome back, Laura. Do the Knights of the Violet Realm talk to you? Welcome.
I send you my hear voices. and a lot of things that I have gotten communication from, a lot of other indigos, independent of me, have gotten the same information. And so it's like a double blind. There's stuff that I'm going, well, that is like way out there, and then I'll get a call from another indigo and say, hey, you know, I just found out blah, blah, blah from one of my dragon guides. And I'm going, okay, cool. That's the same thing I was getting yesterday. So, and this is happening.
Hold on a minute, Laura. You need to translate that for me. I don't know what you just said.
You don't speak dragon?
No, I'm afraid not. Well, I speak a little French, je ne sais pas.
Yeah, dragons have a little different language, but, you know, they got these translator things so we can understand.
Okay, so we're talking dragons, really, dragons?
We had them all over in the realm, dragons and all sorts of mythical animals. I don't believe mythical animals are mythical, we just, this environment just got so harsh that they had to leave.
Unicorns? You have unicorns?
And unicorns, yeah, we had those back there. All the fun things.
Now, our producer, Roberta Scott, who you met, she told me I have to ask you about the little book of blasphemy.
Oh, yeah.
What is that?
Oh, that is a book by one of my affiliates, and he hopefully will be putting that out very soon. He wrote this book called My Little Book of Blasphemies and Other Thoughts from the Shower. And his name is Michael, and hopefully that will be coming out soon. It's really, really funny. When you read my book, it has excerpts from that. And if you'll hold on a second here, I'll see if I can find one of those in the book. Here's one. If God chose to judge us the way we judge each other, the show would have been over a long time ago. And then, this is one of my favorites. Does it make any sense that the most powerful, most creative, most intelligent force that ever was or ever will be scrubs his creation so bad that he should have to create a grand junkyard complete with an incinerator and then hire the ultimate bad guy, who, by the way, is also his arch enemy, to run the joint? Then have this bad guy slowly burn and torture and destroy all his masterpieces that didn't quite turn out the way the master architect had planned. The whole idea says that God is not perfect and that she is pretty pissed off about it. Does that make any sense?
You know, when you sent me these guardian pet rocks, I guess is what you like to refer to them as.
Yeah, just for fun.
Yeah, you're right. You mentioned something about ghost busting.
Yeah, I'm a ghostbuster. Did you know that?
Well, you kind of brushed over that with me, and I didn't follow up on it when we were talking.
Gary, if it's weird, I do it, okay?
Okay. My kind of woman. Anyway, so tell me about your ghostbusting activities.
I've been a professional ghostbuster. Me and my partner, Ronnie Foster, have been doing this for about 5 years now. And on a lark one time, we just put this ad in the paper and got all of this, like, tremendous response from it, because we were sitting there thinking, you know, we do this, like, we call it, can you say shit on the radio?
Yeah.
We do weird shit. And we thought, well, we should do this as a profession. We should, like, start making money on our weirdness that we do. And so we put this ad in the paper and got a tremendous amount of response. The newspapers and stuff were calling us, and we're going, whoa, this is pretty interesting. So since then, we've been working on a book called Got Ghosts, A Practical Guide to Ghostbusting.
Is it out yet?
It's not out yet. We're hoping to have it out by Halloween.
Well, you're basically going to have to come back on the show and talk to me about ghostbusting in great detail.
We can have, like, a ghost show for Halloween.
Yeah.
And we've had some tremendous success with ghostbusting, and I would...
Where do ghosts normally hang out?
They they like to hang out where, like in the basements where the water heater and the wires and stuff are, because it electromagnetically attracts them there. And most of the ghosts don't even know they're dead. It's really sad. It really annoys me, some of these shows that are on TV now, that they'll go and they'll find these ghosts and they'll have psychics tell them their sad tale, and then they leave them there. I'm going, so you found the ghost and they got this tale of woe and they keep reliving their death over and over again and you leave them there? What kind of stupid is that?
What do you do when you find a ghost?
Well, we help them to the light or wherever they need to go. Now, one thing that
you said need to go rather than have to go.
Well, yes, because, you know, unlike your priest or whatever that comes and casts them out, well, and they always think everything's demons, right? You know? So they come and they cast them out. They just go to the neighbor's house for a while and then come back, you know, and you don't cast them to hell. Heck, they're already in hell, you know? So you have to be very open-minded and deal with each ghost according to their belief system. For instance, a Native American ghost is not going to go with Jesus. They don't know who Jesus is. They don't care. Someone that's a Buddhist is not going to go with Jesus. You have to get in the same level.
So you're saying that our afterlife depends upon our belief system here on Earth?
Absolutely.
Interesting.
What do you do with an atheist, you know? I found when I'm working with atheists that usually if one of their pets comes back, they'll go with their pet.
A pet?
A pet, yeah, like a dog or something.
Well, sure. I'm very attached to my schnauzer.
Yeah.
And the one I had before, I was attached to, and well, for 13, 14 years, my present one, Buster's getting up there in age. Are you saying that pets have ghosts too?
Oh, yeah. When we do ghost bustings, we then clear out the neighborhood, and inevitably there's always cats and dogs and birds and rabbits and stuff.
That don't know they're dead?
Yeah, some of them get trapped too. What happens is when somebody dies with abruptness or a lot of pain or grief or depression, they won't see the tunnel of light and they'll just stay here. They get stuck. Especially suicide people are notorious for that, because they were in such a low vibration when they took their life that they just stay there. And this world is full of ghosts. I mean, there's never a shortage of ghosts. I mean, I'm totally got a job for the rest of my life.
Now, are there any dangers dealing with ghosts?
There could be if you're afraid, and some ghosts can be hostile. I've been using the cryogenetics aid, which is on the...
Well, I mean, when they're hostile, what can they do? Just scare you to death?
Well, they can do stuff. They can, like, throw things around and...
Oh, really?
And, you know, they can bump into people and they can do some nasty stuff, yeah. They can be rude, yell at you and intimidate you and stuff like that. And, you know, like I say, telekinetically...
Well, some of these ghosts might like where they're at, between the water heater and the furnace.
They do, because they don't know any better. They don't know there's uh-huh. a better place. Most of them that are in the water heater places are just kind of hovering there, and they're afraid. They were afraid when they died, and they're still afraid, and those poor people need to...
You know, you sent some dust along, too. Would you take that dust and throw it at a ghost?
Well... make him sparkle, I don't know.
Okay. Tell me what that dust is all about.
The dust?
Yeah.
In your pendant?
Uh-huh.
That is the dust from the rock. If you notice that the rock has little sparklies on it.
Yeah.
That's the same dust that's in your pendant. And it does the same thing. A little teeny rock will do as big as a big one the size of your fist. Size doesn't matter. It's like Yoda says, size matters not. So one little gram is just as powerful as 50 grams.
Interesting that you would say that. Let's we'll talk more about ghosts. So I'm going to skip Yeah, I'm very fascinated with ghosts.
It's an interesting subject. One thing I did want to, it's kind of on the same lines as that, is I did want to kind of cover shove-ins, because that's something that goes along with my work with in-dolls. And I know everybody's kind of heard about walk-ins, where people will walk into a body. It's a mutual agreed-upon contract. When somebody's done with it, and there's somebody else that needs a body about that age and whatever, and so they'll say, okay, I'm done with it, you take it, and I'm out of here. And that's a walk-in. But with a shove-in, there's not that kind of agreement. It's a ghost that has the opportunity to shove into somebody that is either knocked unconscious through accident, or is skunk drunk, or under general anesthesia. A lot of people pick up shove-ins after they've gone into surgery, and then they totally have a personality change. And some of these ghosts are okay, and they can kind of cohabitate okay, and some of them were real jerks when they were alive, and they're real jerks when they're dead. And I had a lot of my clients that I've done shove-in removals from.
When you speak about your clients, what kind of
people are?
Yeah, I mean, what? How would I know I need your services?
Well, if you, for one thing, if you think you have a shove-in in you, if you have these personalities.
I mean, you're saying schizophrenia may not be.
Like personality disorder,
uh-huh.
And bipolar. There's a reason why people are bipolar and their eyes all of a sudden get real steely cold and they start acting totally bizarre. I have to tell you, I have worked on two young men, one of them that was about ready to go to prison and one that had just gone to prison. And after the shoving removals, they knew instantly that something was different. The one in prison, his life totally changed. He felt it come out of him. He didn't even know. I was working with his girlfriend at the time and got permission from his soul to do this and wrote me a letter and just so grateful and so happy.
Now, did you go see him or do you have to do that?
No, I did it remotely.
That's what I was getting at. Somebody listening anywhere could contact you.
Absolutely. I've done it all over the world. I did one recently in Australia, and this woman was about ready to leave her boyfriend, and I said, you know what, I think he's got a shove in him, let's try this first. And she said his personality totally changed. In fact, he came to her and said, do I know you? And she's going, that's my line to you.
Yeah.
And that was a month ago, and no relapses. Once a ghost is gone, it does not come back.
Oh, really?
At least when I do it. Now, if you start, you know, making yourself vulnerable to that, like getting skunk drunk and rendering yourself unconscious, you could open yourself up to another ghost.
So in other words, you're saying that the evils of alcohol and drugs probably are more real about these type of things as well as what we generally think. In other words...
Right, yeah, you have to be careful. You know, I tell people that get to recreational drugs and stuff, it's like, just be careful, especially if you can find alcohol and drugs and stuff. It's like, that can be really icky, and you can be asking for a lot of trouble there.
So in other words, I can just see the spirit out there saying, hey, old Joe's a drunk, let's get in there.
Like, whoa!
Yeah, this is going to be easy.
Available, let's go!
So you really feel there's a lot of spirits out there looking for bodies?
Yeah, there are. You know, and a lot of them are hanging out in hospitals, because a lot of dead people that die in hospitals don't know that they're dead, and then when somebody goes unconscious, they just like move into them, especially if they found somebody that has a like vibration. For instance, one of our clients had been raped when she was younger, and there was a woman that died in the hospital that had also been raped and abused, and because of their like vibration and feeling of powerlessness and all of that stuff, she magnetized into our clients. And our poor client said that she had these really psychotic thoughts, like she was...
Now, you're not saying they take over the body, they're just in there with the other body.
No, they can take over. It's like timeshares.
Well, then you kick them out, then what happens?
Well, then the resident dean gets to live there all by themselves, and sometimes they feel really...
Well, both of them are there.
Oh, okay. When we take the shove-in out, we help them to the light or wherever they need to go, and they're gone. They don't come back. So then it's just the original resident being, and it's real quiet in there. A lot of them say, you know, it's kind of freaky because it's too quiet. I don't hear the voices that tell me to do bad things anymore.
So literally, people are hearing voices, and the devil made me do it.
Voices, it's somebody else in their head. It's not a makeup thing.
Okay. I've always felt that regardless of what I did, it was me. I never thought about somebody else making me do it.
Well, maybe we should have a little chat after the show.
Yeah, right.
I just figured, you know, what the heck.
And sometimes, you know, sometimes people just have bad attitudes and it is them. But if there's a huge change in personality and somebody goes...
Oh, I'm the same as I was when I was a teenager.
Okay, but what about when you were a kid? Are you the same as the kid?
Sure. I used to have stage shows and talk on the radio with a microphone and make all the neighborhood kids come in and do shows with me. I never changed.
You never changed, sure.
I don't know if that's good or bad.
Well, you know, we'll just have to change. And if you hear voices, that's not necessarily...
Well, I've never heard a voice.
Never heard a voice.
Never, ever. You mean inside me, somebody saying something to me?
Or a thought that you don't know about.
Well, I have thoughts all the time, and I run, and I have role-playing all the time in my mind. I have a lot of fun with everybody I meet.
You have to have fun.
I mean, I don't, I don't necessarily need real life.
That's a very integral trait. They are so into their own world. World just doesn't cut it for me.
Well, many of your traits of the indigo do fit me, but I'm not sure it's 90%. But I haven't taken the entire test.
Well,
what if I am one? What would that be? I mean, you know, I am heard worldwide, and my mission is truth, justice, and liberty for all.
See, that would be a very indigo kind of a job.
Well, that's why I do this.
Right.
I mean, I don't care about the money.
No.
I fortunately make some money, but, you know, so I don't have to rob a bank or anything, but...
You're fortunate.
But I'm not motivated by money. I'm not even motivated by what I'm doing. I'm motivated by the people around me if I can help them find a good career. And we've got 5 or 6 people and I work with me, and, I want them to do fantastic.
That's right. That's the win-win situation. Remember I told you that indigos try to find win-win?
Well, I always have done that in business and whatever.
That's right. And a good deal for one person is only a good deal for one person.
Uh-huh. A good deal for everybody is a good deal. Well, I never really wanted to do anything from kissing somebody hello to whatever just for my own gratification.
I know. Jerry, let me tell you something. I've already scanned you, and you are a first lady. I took the liberty before the show.
Okay. I just, the only black light I've ever been exposed to was in a disco. But
if you have black light and just do the black light meditation and see what happens.
Well, and that's the reason I think I may not be an indigo, because I don't take time to meditate.
You don't need to. You just lay under it and go, okay, let's see how the...
Like when I go to bed at night, a lot of people lay there thinking. It takes me about 30 seconds.
Okay. Well, that's fine. You just put on some music, you chill, you turn off...
Well, I don't even have to listen to music. In fact, that's part of the problem of broadcasting, is you start listening to music. You don't hear music like everybody else does. I hear music like, boy, that'd be good to fit in there, and that would be great there. I even do that with people's emotions.
I'm sure you do.
You know, that'd make a good show.
Wouldn't that make a good show?
Yeah, right. That's my life.
Well, I know. See, and that's what indigos do. They are part of the cosmic cleanup crew, and they're going, okay, this would be good here, and let's put this over here, and this would work really well over there.
Well, are you saying all indigo people are bossy? I don't think I am, but some people think I am.
It's just that you can see a a way of organizing. They're always looking for a better way. It's like what it's like they're the fix-it people. They see a mess and they know how to fix it. That's cosmic cleanup. You know, they see crap happening and they figure out ways of resolving it.
Yeah, I don't even put on white gloves sometimes. Never mind.
Yeah, just do it.
Yeah, right.
A problem and you just handle.
Okay, let's talk seriously here for a minute. You're doing this for lack of a better term, seminar in Phoenix and Tucson, 20th and 21st. Where do you go to do these things? I mean, would they contact you through the website? Somebody wanted you to do something?
What I'm hoping to do is get these lectures all over the world so that what happens, Gary, is every day new data comes out and new information, and I'm trying to get these out and get these lectures recorded so I can have that available for people, because things are happening so fast, and what was true yesterday has changed tomorrow, and nothing stays the same, and things that we thought were one way yesterday can totally be morphed and look different tomorrow. And so we really have to keep up on the latest information. And what I'm hoping to do with these First Wave Indigo lectures is to keep getting this new data out all the time. And
well, you need to put together like the rock stars do and do a tour.
I do. That's what I do. Yeah, just like a rock star.
Yeah, right. And you are a rock star, an aerolite rock.
What the rocks? Yeah, I like that. We'll call them rock star engagements or something.
Well, I mean, you do think it's a magical stone of truth, don't you?
It is, and if you don't want truth in your life, you better not get one, because I tell you what.
Well, that lets out all my friends. just teasing.
Don't give one to your friends. You don't want them to tell you what they think.
Oh, me. Well, you know, so they could, you would put together a tour to go, like, any place.
I'm hoping to get into Europe, and
we have lots of listeners in Europe, about 25% of our audience.
Oh, awesome. That would be very, very incredible if I could open up the Europe team Indigo consciousness there. And I'm also hoping to go to Australia in the next year.
We have lots of listeners in Australia.
Well, if there's anybody
listening somewhere, they can contact you through your website.
Contact me through the website, and let's get this going, because, like I say, there's new information coming out all the time. In fact, in the book, when I wrote the protocol for removing implants, I could only put a limited amount of information there. I was instructed, do not put more than this in there. And then 3 months later, my partner Ann and I we constantly chased it.
I met her. She's from Los Angeles.
Yeah, okay.
Okay.
We're constantly taking down booby traps and things and surveillance systems from the powers that be. And now it's okay to put out the whole of the protocol, and that will be on my website.
Tapping phones is a big deal right now. I mean, the NSA thing, and evidently everybody in America is being watched for their call patterns and who they call and who they don't. I'm probably driving them crazy, because I call all kinds of people for interviews. You know.
And you even call the White House just for fun.
Right. So what I'm saying is, who wouldn't want to tap your phone? I don't mean that in a demoralizing, self-degenerative term. I mean,
stop a lot of people in high and low places, let me tell you.
Well, I mean, what are they afraid of?
Well, I have a lot of sensitive information, and I get...
Sensitive information like what? I don't expect you to give it all away for free here.
Okay.
Give me a hint, though. I mean, in Hollywood now, they used to have, you wrote a screen treatment, then it got down to two or three paragraphs. Now it's down to a sentence. So give me a sentence.
Give you a sentence. Well,
yes.
Okay. I'm trying to see how I can say this with, I'm always tapping into the powers that be and trying to stay one step ahead of them. So whatever they're planning, I'm trying to dismantle it before they...
What are they planning right now?
I can't tell you, or I'd have to kill you. Now, that's their life.
Okay.
Now, there's a lot of things, and that is what will be discussed in some of these seminars, is what's going on presently and what we can do to take down a lot of the operations that are going on. And with these, you don't walk into a building.
Are we talking about the neoconservatives?
We're talking about everybody.
Okay.
Not just one group. There's so many groups. It's like, we'll just call them the powers that be, because there's so many of them. And they...
Well, I think their only power that they have personally is everybody says they have power.
That's right, and their money.
Yeah, well, yeah, but... Money means nothing to me. So, I mean, that you know, a rich man talks to me and says he's going to break me, so what?
Okay, but with money, they have power to...
Well, money only has power because we say it does. But, of course, you I've been homeless. You've been homeless. I was an actor.
We've been there.
Yeah, so
how you can control people with money. It's like, if you have enough money, you can buy the computers, you can buy the buildings, you can buy the research centers, you can do whatever you want if you've got the money to back you. If you're this little guy in a garage that can, you know, barely feed his family, and he's trying to have, you know, build this wonderful...
Well, most of these other people don't want to do things. They're too busy just living.
Well, or surviving.
Well, that's what I mean. I think, you know, I only got about a minute, so we can't debate too long here. But I think a lot of them have lost sight. Many of them do not have goals like I've had all my life. I've always been on a white horse, charging around, trying to right wrongs, and always get in trouble over it.
Well, see, then you know you're doing the right thing.
Right.
You're not in trouble. You're not doing a good job.
We got a minute left. What are you going to say? Should we plug the book? Plug your meetings? Plug these stones? If they buy these stones from you, what do they do? Is there instructions on what to do with them?
There will be instructions. There's instructions on the website. It gives you a lot of background and people's stories and things. Everything you need is on the website.
What's this Mystic House?
Mystic House is my business, and...
I mean, it's just the name of the business. You don't have a Mystic House.
No, Well, someday I'll own a Mystic House. I don't right
now. Oh, okay, okay.
That's in the future plan.
Oh, okay, okay. We'll get a graphic artist to draw one. Laura Lee, I've enjoyed it a whole lot, and we will be talking to you again.
Okay, we'll do a ghost show at Halloween.
We will, and we have a link to your website and all the information, and they need to get in contact with you. It's been a joy. Am I allowed to say that? I think so.
Bye-bye.
Okay.
Take care.
Thank you very much.
Hello, this is Steve Motley. You know, buffets are very popular these days, so I've decided to create a cyber buffet containing many life-changing products that I would love for you to take a close look at and try. Here on my site, you'll find the very best of the best in all-natural nutritional products that work. Look closely on my site, and you'll also discover some other very interesting products and services, things like video email. And how about a music download service that pays you to share your favorite music with your friends? Do you own a cell phone? Well, you need a AA battery turbocharger. Hey, know anybody that would like to save big money at the gas pump? Well, we have a product to address that concern as well. Okay, if I've piqued your interest at all, here's what I'd like you to do. About halfway down on the left column of this website, you'll see a graphic that says, Steve Motley's Click Here for Health. I promise you, it'll be the very best click-through you've ever done.